Do you want to go to heaven? You're here because you want to go to heaven. God wants you in heaven. Tonight, I'm going to do everything I can to help you to better understand God's will, that you can make it to heaven. That's where God wants you to be. Again, I apologize for my inability to articulate it, but God wants you to be in heaven. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to 2 Timothy. The chapter is 1. I want us to look at a verse that we looked at earlier, but I want us to look at it again tonight. The Apostle Paul, in his final epistle to Timothy, says these words. And as he knows that his death is pending, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, talking about Jesus, talking about what God has done. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. The holy calling here is the gospel. And we're being saved not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, God's plan and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world was ever formed. I want you to know that before God created us, before God made us, before God formed this universe, God came up with a plan through Jesus Christ, whereby you and I can be saved. God wants a relationship with you. But more than anything, God wants you in heaven. He has a plan. That plan is through Jesus Christ. Jesus had to do something that you and I could have the hope of eternal life. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse number 26. In Colossians chapter 1, concerning this plan that God came up with, that included Jesus Christ, Paul says to the saints at Colossae, verse 26 of the chapter 1, this plan once was a mystery. This plan had been hidden from ages and from generations. But now, I am so thankful for now. Now the plan is no longer a mystery. The plan is no longer hidden. The plan has been revealed. God came up with a plan. Jesus died to put the plan in motion. The Holy Spirit has revealed the plan to the apostles. The apostles, being inspired, have written a plan that we can have it and that we can know the truth and be set free. Thank you, God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says to the saints concerning this plan, having made known, talking about Jesus, to us the mystery of his will. God has given him all power. And Jesus' will has been revealed by the apostles, about the Holy Spirit to the apostles, that the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather. God has a plan. That plan included some gathering. Gathering together, I want you to look at this. Something in one. You just remember this. God has a plan. It includes gathering everybody together in one. Why is that verse there? What is the plan that includes all of us being in one? That's what I want to try to help you to understand tonight. The topic for the night is the importance, understanding the importance of the kingdom. If you have your copy of God's word, turn back to something Jesus said in John 10. He was talking to some Pharisees, and he told the Pharisees something. Remember, Jesus' will is that we all be gathered together in one. And during his ministry, Jesus said something to the Pharisees to try to help them understand what was going to occur in the future. They didn't understand what he was saying. But let me try to help you to understand what he was saying. John 10, verse 16. He says, other sheep. That doesn't mean other churches. That includes the Gentiles. At one time, God had a relationship with the Jews. He created the Gentiles, but he didn't have a personal relationship with them. He allowed them to worship God, to worship any way they want. He once winked at ignorance. Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible says. Now he commanded every man, everywhere, Jews and Gentiles, to do something. But he says to the Pharisees, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Fold is a metaphor here referring to something. Jesus is a shepherd referring to something. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them must I bring, and there shall be one shepherd and one fold. Here we see that word one again. What is so significant about one? Why do we see one? Tonight, I want to help you to understand the importance of the church. The church is an important part of God's plan that included Jesus, that involved the Holy Spirit. God wants one. In order to understand this lesson tonight, five quick points, and the lesson is yours. Point number one, why preach about the church? Of all the sermons, all the topics in the Bible, why preach about the church? Why is it that you have to talk about the church? You see, if you're going to understand the oneness that God wants, if you want to understand the fullness of God's plan, you must preach about the church. Let's go 700 years before the day of Pentecost. Go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. I preach about the church because the prophets talked about it. 700 years before the day of Pentecost, Isaiah had something to say about the church. And he says, in these days shall the God of heaven said, no, Isaiah 2 and verse 2, it shall come to pass, I'm sorry. In the last day that the mounting of the Lord house, mounting here refers to the kingdom. Mounting refers to the church. And the last days shall the mounting of the Lord house be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hill. And I want you to see something. And all, you see that phrase, all Jews and Gentiles shall flow unto it. Again, singular. The plan included one. Now Isaiah is talking 700 years before it became reality that one day in the mountain of the Lord's house, what does that refer? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, something is going to start in the city of Jerusalem. Here's a prophecy. Something's going to happen in the city of Jerusalem, and all people, Jews and Gentiles, are going to become a part of God's mounting, God's kingdom in Jerusalem. Now let's go to 600 years before the day of Pentecost. Daniel 2, now verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44, 600 years before. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, in the days of the king of the Roman Empire, we don't have time to talk about the different stages of the kingdom, but in the days of the Roman Empire, God is going to set up a kingdom. Where? It's going to be in the city of Jerusalem, according to Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall break into pieces, and it shall consume these kingdoms. And it, not them, not those, it shall stand forever. There's a oneness here. There's a kingdom that's going to be established. And tonight I need to help you to understand the importance of preaching about the kingdom. The prophets talked about it. And tonight I got to explain it to you. I've got to preach about it. Now let's go to the New Testament. Why preach about the kingdom? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus preached his first sermon, what did he think he preached about? When Jesus preached his very first sermon, what do you think he preached about? He preached about something that's very important to his plan, his will for us to obey. He wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't important. What is it that Jesus is talking about that is so important that when he preaches his very first sermon, he talks about it? If he talks about it, it must be important. Verse 17. At that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. Repent for what? The kingdom is at hand. It hadn't been established. 700 years ago, Isaiah talked about it. 600 years ago, Daniel talked about it. But a long time ago, my daddy came up with a plan. And that plan included me. And my part of the plan is that I'm going to establish a kingdom. And that's why he's talking about this kingdom. And that's why we need to preach about the kingdom. Then later on, he sent out 70 disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. And he told them, when you go, preach whatever you want. No. When you go out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, what do you need to tell them? Look at verse 7. As you go, preach. Notice what Jesus said. Preach. The kingdom is at hand. Tell the people something good is about to happen. Oh, I love this. Tell them something great is about to happen. The plan has been a mystery for years. God came up with a plan. It included me. The Holy Spirit has revealed the plan. And as you go, because they didn't have the word of God at that time in this written form, the New Testament. They had the prophets. They had the Old Testament. But they didn't have the New Testament. You go and you preach and you tell them the kingdom is at hand. It's about to be established. Now, Matthew 16. Jesus says something. He starts in verse 13, by whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know how eventually Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't get this by studying at Freed Hartman University. This came from my Father. Now look at verse 18. Peter, upon your confession that I am the Son of God, I want you to know that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or prevent it. Look at verse 19. And Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Remember that. But I want you to see something else before we go on. When you talk about the church, you're talking about the kingdom. When you talk about the kingdom, you're talking about the church. They are synonymous. They mean the same thing. So when we talk about the importance of the kingdom, we're talking about the importance of the church. Jesus said, I will establish my kingdom. I will establish my church. I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys to the church, the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to let you open the doors and invite people into the kingdom for the very first time. Peter, you shall open up the doors. Now, let me say this. There's some people say on Sunday morning they're going to open up the doors to the kingdom. The doors have already been opened, people. Peter opened up the doors, and the doors hadn't been shut yet. But one day the doors are going to be shut. But right now the doors of the kingdom have opened. Peter opened the doors. Jesus says, I will build my church. Why are you talking about the church? The prophets talked about it. Peter preached about it. He told us, Jesus taught about it. He told the disciples to go out and talk about it. Jesus promised that he was going to build. Now look at verse 28. He said, there'll be some of you standing here that would not taste death until you see the kingdom come with power. There'll be some of you, the church has been established. And if it hadn't been established, there's somebody on this earth over 2,000 years old. And if that's not right, we need to get up and get out of here, because this Bible is a lie. Jesus said, there'll be some of you that will be alive when my kingdom is established. I told you to get ready. What's the purpose of the kingdom? There's a oneness. Stay with me. I'm going to help you to understand it. There's something important about the kingdom. But you know what? Not many days or weeks after, Jesus was put to death. Turn to Mark chapter 16. He was put to death. But early one Sunday morning, he came out of that grave. And when he came out of the grave, there were some ladies that came to the tomb with the intent of wrapping his body. But he wasn't dead. He had risen. And Jesus told the ladies to go and tell my disciples. Look at verse 7. Go tell the disciples and who? Peter. Wow, I got a job for Peter. What is Peter going to do? He's going to open up the doors to the kingdom. But Peter needed to be restored. And Jesus did restore him in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 18. Peter's faith now is rekindled. Peter now is on fire for the Lord. But now he's getting ready to go back to heaven. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Before he goes back to heaven, Jesus talks with the 11. The reason there's 11, because Judas is dead. And he gathers the 11 together. And he spends 40 days with them before he ascends back to heaven. What do you think he would spend 40 days talking about? Something that's not important? Something that's not significant? What did Jesus spend 40 days talking about before he ascended back to heaven with these 11 men? Look at verse number 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, his crucifixion, his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking and teaching about something that's not important. The kingdom of God. Why would he talk about the church for 40 days? And even though they didn't fully understand it, he was trying to help them to understand the significance, the importance of the kingdom. And you think I'm going to come to West Palm Beach and preach and not talk about the kingdom? I couldn't do my God like that. I couldn't do my Savior like that. Come here and not talk about the church. Look at verse 4. He says, don't you leave. You stay in Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord house. It's going to be established where? In the top of the mountain. What's the top of the mountain? In the city of Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem. I want you to see that. Something is going to happen in Jerusalem. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? Don't you leave Jerusalem. You stay here. You stay here. John baptized you, verse 5, with water. But not many days after this, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? It's going to guide you into all the truth. You don't understand all there is about the church. You don't understand all about my kingdom. And they made that clear in verse 7. But he says, you don't know now, but when the Spirit comes upon you, is going to reveal to you all the truth. So guess what they do? Acts 1, verse 9, he now gets on a cloud and Jesus goes back to heaven. The disciples go to the city of Jerusalem. Look at Acts 2 and verse 4. And they will all feel. They refers to, I'm going to show you who they, it's not 140,000 here. They is verse 14. They, Peter, and how many? 139? Nah, that's not what my Bible says. How many people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It tells us Peter and the 11. 1 plus 11, I think I'm right, it's 12. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues. What is a tongue? Look at verse number 8. Other languages. They began to be able to speak in these different dialects that are there. God wanted people to hear in their language the wonderful works of God that is about to be unfold. And guess what God, Jesus promised Peter? Peter, I'm going to give you the what? The keys to the kingdom. Now look at verse 14. Who's up speaking? Peter. Who said he was going to be up speaking? Jesus. Where are we? In the city of Jerusalem. Now what did Peter say? Look at verse 36. He told him about Jesus Christ. But now he tells him in Acts 2 verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you have crucified, listen to this, God has made him Lord. What does the word Lord mean in Greek? King. Jesus is a king. When you talk about Jesus, give him respect. He's King Jesus. He's King Jesus. He's Lord and Savior. Jesus is King Jesus, and he is the king of something. What is Jesus the king of? Stay with me. I'm going to show you what he's the king of. Verse 37, when they heard this preaching, men and brethren, what must we do? The inquiry here is, what must we do? The Jews understood it. What must we do to become a part of Jesus' kingdom? We killed the Son of God. We've been looking for the Messiah and we killed him. What must we do to become a part of the King's kingdom? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of the king. By the authority of the king. By the authority, do you see that, of the king? Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto the apostles who were already in the kingdom 3,000 souls. Why were they added to the apostles? Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the people joined the church of their choice. Huh? Look at that verse. Why is a church important? Something is going on in the city of Jerusalem. The prophets prophesied that something was going to occur in the city of Jerusalem. Peter is preaching the first gospel sermon. When you talk about the church, what are you talking about? The kingdom. When you talk about the kingdom, what are you talking about? The church. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the kingdom, to the church, daily those who were being saved. Tonight, where are the saved? They're in the kingdom. Where are the saved? They're in the church. Where are the saved? They're in the kingdom. Why? Jesus has all authority. And that's where he says salvation is. My question tonight, are you in the church? Are you in the kingdom? Then are you where the saved are? If not, what do you need to do? According to the Bible. I'm not saying according to what you feel. I'm not saying according to what somebody else has told you. What have you just read? that you need to do tonight to be what a saved people are. Rhonda was here. She would say, Sammy, it's time to extend the invitation. I thought you had 5 points. Rhonda would say, it's time to extend the invitation. But I got 4 other things to tell you about the kingdom. But I wish you know enough now. All you need to know to be saved. To save or add it to the church. Notice they didn't join the church of their choice. Because when it comes to being saved, you just have to obey God's will and he saved people. We're not going to vote on you. We can't determine who's going to. That's not for us to vote on you. You're not going to come down here and we're going to vote. Should Dan Jenkins go to heaven? Everybody agree with that? Raise your hand. But suppose you're mad at Dan. No, he's not getting my vote. I don't want him in there. I'm so thankful that you're not voting on whether I can be in the kingdom or not. And he's too long-winded. We would never make it to heaven. So, no. Let's go to question number 2. What's the purpose then of the kingdom? The church, the kingdom is important. But Brother Jones, what's the purpose of the kingdom? I think I can share that with you very quickly. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. What's the purpose of the kingdom? Ephesians 3 verse 3. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 3, how that by revelation, here it is again, he has made known to me, Paul is talking about the mystery. God has revealed to me the plan. It was a mystery for many years, but God had made it known to me. Look at verse number 4. By which when you read what I've written down, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. Now catch verse 6, because here it is. That the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same what? Body. God's plan through Jesus Christ is that Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same, not different. But what's the body? Go back to Ephesians 1, look at verse 22. He put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus. And God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his what? What's the body? What's the church? What's the body? What's the church? Go back to verse 6 again, Ephesians 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same church. But what's the church? The same kingdom, the same body. God wants us all to be, you remember the plan that he might gather us all together in one? You remember the prophecy that he's going to establish a kingdom, and it, God's plan, that there would the other sheep would be of the same fold. One shepherd, one fold. Now, Ephesians 2, look at verse 12. That at the time, talking about the Gentiles, us, Sammy, you were without Christ. There was a time Gentiles didn't have God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, I like that, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has done something for me. It has brought me back in fellowship with God and relationship with God. Look at verse 16. But before I read verse 16, verse 14 and 15, he had to tear down a middle wall. He had to remove something. What was the wall? The law. The law of Moses was against us. It wasn't to us. He nailed it to the cross. He removed it out of the way. And when he moved that out of the way, he made available a new law, the gospel of Christ that we talked about on last evening. We're under the gospel of Christ, and whosoever abided in the gospel of Christ, they have both the Father and the Son. Now look at verse 16, that he might reconcile them both. But who's them both? Jews and Gentiles. To God in one, what's the body? One church. What's the church? One kingdom. God wants Jews and Gentiles. Can't you see it? In one body. But what's the body? One church. What church? The one that Peter opened up the doors on the day of Pentecost. The one that the Lord added to. In Acts 2 verse 47, what's the purpose of the church? It's to bring Jews and Gentiles together, that we can be fellow heirs and of the same body, one fold with one king, part of God's plan. Now that brings us to the third question. You see, the first question, why preach about the church? Second, what is the purpose of the church? The third is this. Where is salvation tonight? Where is salvation? Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Where is salvation tonight? Where should you be if you want to be saved? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul tells Timothy, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Say it with, where is salvation? In Christ Jesus. If you want to be saved, where do you need to be? In Christ Jesus. But suppose tonight you're not in Christ. Romans 8, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those in Christ, one day the day of judgment is coming. I don't know when, but one day is coming. But those who are in Christ Jesus don't have to worry about punishment. Don't have to worry about being said, I don't know you if you're faithful. But you have to be where? In Christ Jesus. But suppose you're not in Christ Jesus, then you ought to be afraid when the day of judgment comes. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, so to speak, on the day of judgment if you're not in Christ Jesus. I wouldn't want to stand before God when he let his only son die for you, that you might be able to spend an eternity in heaven, and you spurn his son's invitation by saying, I'm not going to be a part of that kingdom. I don't want to be baptized. And now you're standing before the God that watched his son suffer. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to stand before God knowing what you know now, and try to justify your life. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, if any man, any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Why is it so important to be a new creature? How do you become a new creature? You have to get in Christ. Now turn back to John chapter 3 and verse 3, 4, and 5. Jesus, remember, had a conversation with Nicodemus. And it says, except you be what? Born again. Well, what does it mean to be born again? That's how you become a new creature. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you can't go to heaven unless you're born again. How are you born again? You have to get in Christ to become a new creature, to be born again. Tonight, are you in Christ? If you're not, you haven't been born again. And if you haven't been born again, guess what? You can't go to heaven. And you're under condemnation. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to leave here tonight in your condition. Before we go to point number four, turn to Revelation 14, 13. John says, blessed. You're either blessed or you're not blessed in this text here. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in Christ Jesus. But suppose you die and you die not in Christ Jesus, you're not blessed. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to be you. I'm sorry, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be you. Knowing where you need to be and then refuse to be there. You're going to die. There's no ifs, and buts about it. You're going to die one day. But when you die, you better die in Christ. You don't know whether you're going to be here next week. There's not a person sitting or standing that know they're going to be here next week. Then where do you need to be tonight? But suppose you're not in Christ and you die knowing what you know. Don't you worry about anybody else. Say, well, my mama, your mom, and she didn't hear this. She's in God's hand. We're not dealing with that. We're talking about people who know and have heard what I'm talking tonight. We're not talking about people. Well, there are some people who have never heard that. We're talking about now. What about you? You know better. You know what you need to do. I know you know what you need to do. Suppose you die, not in Christ. Fourth point, how do you get into Christ? How do you get into Christ? You have to get into his body. What was his body? The church. Well, how do you get into his church? You get into his body. Well, how do you get into his body? You get into his church. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is before all, and he is the head of the body, talking about Christ. Christ is the head of the body. The body is the what? The church. To be saved, you got to be in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You get into his body. We're talking about his spiritual body. How do you get into his body? The church. Then, Brother Jones, how do you get into the church, the body? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. Look at what the Bible says. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one what? What's the body? The church, the kingdom. When you are baptized and you obey the one plan of salvation, the one faith that we talked about last night, you're going to be added not to the church of your choice. Not to the body of your choice, not to the kingdom of your choice. You are baptized into one body, one church, one kingdom. Whether you're Jew or Gentile. God wants Jew and Gentiles to be one. That's the purpose of the church. Not to be in a church of your choice. Turn to Galatians 3. Look at verse number 27. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 27. I hope you don't mind. I decided tonight to take my time. We might get through by 12. I'm just kidding. Galatians 3, 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ. How do you get in Christ? How do you get in Christ? You're baptized into Christ. You can't say Jesus come into my heart and get into Christ. You can't say the sinner's prayer and get into Christ. You can't be in Christ by any other avenue than being baptized. Why? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, when they said, men and brethren, what must we do to get into the kingdom of Christ? Repent and be baptized. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added to the kingdom, to the body, to the church, daily such as should be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 6. And we'll go to my last point. Verse 3. Or do you not know? Do you not know that as many of us as were what? Baptized. It is so simple. Where are the saved? They're in Christ. How do you escape condemnation? You get into Christ. How do you become blessed if you die in Christ? Where are the saved? Where is salvation? Is in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get in Christ? You're baptized into Christ. When you're baptized into Christ by the one body, you're added to the church of your choice. No. 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 You're added to the body. What's the body? The church. What's the church? The kingdom. What was prophesied? The kingdom. What did Jesus talk about? The kingdom. What do I have to preach about tonight? The kingdom. Number 5. Amen?
Amen.
I'm saying amen on point 5. You're saying, yeah, hurry up. No, just kidding. My final point is this. Those in Christ enjoy what blessings? Those in Christ enjoy what blessings? Oh, those in Christ. Tonight you need to be in Christ, because those who are in Christ's body, those who are in Christ's church, the kingdom, they enjoy some wonderful blessings. Let me share a few of them with you, and the lesson is yours. The first, turn to Acts 2:47. We've quoted it, read it. I want you to read it one more time. You see, those in Christ enjoy the blessing of being saved. That's the most important one. Those in Christ enjoy the blessing of being saved. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the body, to the church, to the kingdom, daily such as should be saved. Where are the saved? I know you can see that. Where do you need to be tonight? If you're not in the kingdom, if you're not in the church, if you're not in the body, according to the Bible, can you enjoy the blessing of saying you're saved? Can you enjoy the blessing of saying you're saved? Now, you may feel you're saved, and I don't question your feeling, but feelings won't save you, people. You may think you're saved, and you have a right to think whatever you want to think. But the question is, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, if you're not baptized, you're not in the body. The second blessing that you can enjoy tonight, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. Here's the second blessing that you can enjoy. In verse 12, he says you ought to wake up every morning saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Why? Why? Look at verse 13. For God, because of your plan, we have been translated out of darkness. We're no longer walking around in darkness that lead to destruction, but has translated us into where? There it is. The kingdom of Christ, his dear son. Where are the saved? They're in the church. Well, what's the church? The kingdom of Christ. The body of Christ. The church of Christ. When you're no longer in darkness, you're removed and placed into the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. Tonight, people who are in light that leads to heaven are in the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. But suppose you're not in the body of Christ. Suppose you're not in the kingdom of Christ. Suppose you're not a member of the church of Christ. Then you're in darkness. You're in darkness. You don't want to be in darkness. What do you need to do tonight? What do you need to do tonight? Ephesians 5, verse 23. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. We'll skip over the first part of it. For the husband is the head of the wife. I think I need to read that again. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of any body. He's a savior of any church. He's a savior of any kingdom. He is a savior of the body. How many bodies? One. You remember when we first started, we were talking about one. I cannot see a plurality here, not one time. Therefore, you cannot join the church of your choice. Amen. He's a savior of, what's the body? The church. He's a savior of what? The kingdom. What kingdom? That people in darkness are translated out of. Well, what are they translated out of? Darkness into the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ. Where do you need to be tonight? Now, drop down two verses. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the what? The church. The kingdom. The body. And what did he do? He died for the body. He died for the church. He died for the kingdom. He didn't die for everybody, every church, every kingdom. He died for his body, his church, his kingdom. Now, what do you need to do? I want to give you one more. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 24. I was going to quote it, but I want to read this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Something is going to happen one day, and you need to know it. The world is coming to an end. But you know what? I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Why? I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then comes the what? When he, who's he? Jesus. Delivers the what? Why do you think the kingdom is so important? Why do you think the church is so important? He's going to deliver the kingdom of God. Now the God we're talking about here is the God that purchased the church with his blood. Which God died on the cross? Was it God the Father or God the Son? God the Son. So when he says he's going to deliver up the kingdom of God, he's talking about the kingdom of Christ. He's talking about the church of Christ. He's talking about the body of Christ. When the day of judgment comes, Jesus is going to deliver to the Father the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ, the body of Christ. But suppose you're not in the body of Christ. Suppose you're not in the kingdom of Christ. Suppose you're not a member of the church of Christ, then you're not going to be delivered to the Father. You're going to remain on this earth. And I know you already know what's going to happen to those people who remain on this earth. You don't want to remain on this earth. And thanks be to God, you don't have to. Thanks be to God, you don't have to. God came up with a plan. And now I'm going to give you an opportunity to obey the plan. Jesus has all authority. And he says, Sammy, when you go down to West Palm Beach, preach the gospel. Tell them that I died. Tell them that I was buried. But you tell them that I came out of that grave early one Sunday morning. And all power and authority has been given unto me. And now he says, go and preach the gospel. And he that will believe you and is baptized shall be what? And then the Lord will add you to what? The kingdom, the body, the church. And when the day of judgment comes, Jesus is going to take that church and introduce it to his Father. Don't you want to be there? Then you need to come and give me your hand and your heart to God as we together stand and sing the invitation song.